Sports, politics, life. Back 9 Development presents Kevin Keatsman Has Issues. Online at back9development.com.
You just couldn't have scripted a better performance by the Missouri Tigers on Saturday night in their 38-21 win over Kentucky than what we saw in a well-rounded performance from a team that's having a terrific year, and that one bad moment in the fourth quarter against LSU probably right now is keeping Missouri from being undefeated and ranked in the top 10. We're going to start with college football in this episode of KKHI. We'll get to the NFL and a big day Sunday where the Chiefs didn't play, but we saw all kinds of good things for the Chiefs, even though they weren't playing. And of course, we'll catch you up on all the news and things that are going on around the Midwest and around the world. But to me, it all starts about the Missouri Tigers. This win for them on Saturday night, it's not very often that I think back about my career and all the years that I've covered Missouri football and basketball. It is not very often that you look at a team like Mizzou this year and say, okay, there's pieces here. We really like what we see. You've got a quarterback. You've got a receiving core, to be quite honest. I mean, Luther Burden in this game only had 15 yards. Kentucky did a nice job of limiting Burden. The other guys stepped up. Weiss had a touchdown, Johnson touchdown. Really, really nice performance all the way around by this receiving core. But it's been very rare that you get to a point in the season where you say, okay, here's what's missing, and here's what we have to see out of Mizzou. And I sort of challenged last week, is like in my way, saying, look, I got to convince me, I got to see this. What I said I got to see is I got to see more well-rounded play, all three phases of the game, and a strong finish. Because I didn't feel like, even though Missouri beat Kansas State, I didn't feel like they really finished strong in that game. Neither team did. They were both kind of playing giveaway that day. And a, you know, 61-yard field goal or whatever to win it is not exactly grabbing the brass ring or the bull by the horns or any other cliche you want to use. I said, I need to see that out of Missouri. And man, did we see that in a big way on Saturday against Kentucky. This was a whitewash in the fourth quarter. Missouri wins the fourth quarter 18-0. They win the game 38-21. You couldn't, again, they're down 14-0. 62,000 fans are absolutely going batspit crazy in Lexington. And believe me, they love their football there. You don't think of Kentucky as a football school or whatever. That's a good team. They were ranked. They've had success, sustained success with this coach and this program now for years. They are not Georgia. They are not Alabama. But they have a sold-out building, a wonderful stadium and facility. 62,000 fans going absolutely crazy in this thing. Up 14-0 on Missouri. And Mizzou has fourth down, and they're punting the ball away, and it looks like they're in just big trouble in this game. And a fake punt goes for a touchdown. Was it a little fluky? I don't care if it was or not. Sort of a jump ball that Mizzou made the play and scored a touchdown, 39 yards for the touchdown. I have no problem with that, man. You need something to jumpstart your team, you got it. And special teams did that for Missouri with that touchdown and completely reset the table for the game. That didn't win or lose the game right then and there, but boy, you could see a scenario where Missouri found itself down 28-7 at the half if they don't have that play. And you could see something like that coming. It felt like that coming. This was not a perfect night for Missouri. A lot of the things they do well, they were limited to. They didn't run the ball great in this game. Luther Burden was held at bay, as I mentioned. Brady Cook completed 19 passes for a 167 and only one touchdown pass. He ran for another, got a conversion. He did have a pick, but the defense was terrific. They had three takeaways, six tackles for loss, and four sacks. All right, nobody's going to confuse Kentucky for Georgia or anyone else. I get that. Their offense. But you're on the road and you're down. And if you ever at any point this season needed your defense to step up and really ball, you're down 14-0 and you give up 7 points the rest of the way. And that's what you're looking for out of Missouri. You know, to win all these games, you're not always going to go out and have Brady Cook throw for 400 yards and Luther Burden 180 and two touchdowns. It's not going to happen every night. It just does. It's football's not that easy. You have to have a team. And Missouri showed something, in my opinion, on Saturday night that we really haven't seen out of Kansas State and Kansas this year. I know we talk about the three similarly, but it was that complete performance. It was that lockdown at the end of the game. I mean, they went forever to give 7 points in three quarters, essentially. This was just a terrific performance by Missouri. They host South Carolina Saturday. If they play well, they're going to win that game against South Carolina, and the arrows are just pointing straight up. We don't talk enough about Weason Johnson at wide receiver. These two guys are terrific, too. I mean, I'm watching a lot of teams in America that would like to have Missouri's 2 and 3 targets on offense at wide receiver. And we've got to credit the coaching staff for calling the fake punt and having a play that would work. They said they practiced it all week. Look, they didn't fool them. You know, normally a fake punt works because you fool the defense or the special teams defense. They didn't fool him. He was covered. He was covered the whole way. And eventually just kind of a jump ball went up and got it, broke away from the defender and scored the touchdown. You take it, man. You absolutely take it. This was a great win for Missouri. And I don't have any, I'm not delusional. It's going to take something crazy for them to beat Georgia. All right, they'd have to go down and Georgia'd have to have one of those games where they fumble it 3 times and throw an interception and Missouri gets 4 takeaways and stays in the game. It's going to take that against Georgia. But we saw Missouri beat Georgia for 58 minutes last year, didn't we? In Columbia. We saw Missouri beat Georgia for 58 minutes. And it almost looked fluky in the end that Georgia won that game. I'm not calling for them to win the division. I'm not saying that's going to happen. Because I still have in my mind what happened against LSU at the end. And that was not a good look for Missouri. Kansas went through that this week. We'll get to KU in a moment. They had their Mizzou LSU game moment on Saturday. But to see what they have leads me to believe that, I mean, you can't ever just write down win, but I'd be shocked if they don't beat South Carolina on Saturday. This should be a win for Missouri. And why can't they beat Florida and Tennessee? I can't think of any real reason why they can't beat those teams. Florida's beatable. All right. Florida's not all that explosive, which is good. They're good. They're good, man. They're good. They beat Tennessee. Playing at home, they beat Tennessee. Tennessee's got some explosion to their game, and they play really fast. Different kinds of matchups. Tough division. But wouldn't you take it right now? Would you take finishing second to Georgia in the division? Would you take that right now if you're a Mizzou fan? I think you would. And it might even get you in a New Year's Day bowl game somehow. Could be a 10-win season. It is sitting there for Missouri. It's there. They have it. What we don't know is if they have it game to game, if they'll be able to do that, if they are the kind of team, like we saw this as the season went on with K-State last year, they became the team that finished every game. They won the fourth quarter. They won some close games. They had some blowouts. They beat Oklahoma State 45-0 or something. I mean, they bombed some teams. But the tight games and then the Big 12 championship game, Kansas State won that with a 4-play goal line stand on defense. They won the Big 12. Nobody thinks of Kansas State like that. They won the Big 12 with a goal line stand to win the game. It was remarkable. But that's complimentary football, and that's what Mizzou played, and I'm really excited for them because I didn't think I'd see Missouri play like this year. I thought they'd be good, you know, but I didn't think I'd see what I saw out of them Saturday night. That was something different out of an Eli Drinkwitz team, and I loved it. They did it in every possible phase. Great stuff. Kansas State gets a win on the road at Texas Tech. They all three had similar games this week. They're all three playing good teams, not division winners, not championship caliber teams. They were all three playing good teams on the road in hostile environments. Kansas State goes to Texas Tech, and Texas Tech's offense is far different than what it used to be. And so we kind of felt like, okay, K-State's going to keep Tech to a lower number this week. They're not going to score a lot of points, so it won't take much. And K-State came out, played it conservatively. Will Howard drives down on the first drive of the game. K-State gets a field goal, goes up 3-0, and it was very conservative what Kansas State was doing. This was a really unique game. You know what happened. Avery Johnson, the freshman, came in at quarterback and scored 5 touchdowns. We'll get to that in a moment. Let's talk about what happened with Will Howard, because this is one of the more remarkable things in college football this year. This is a fine quarterback. Okay, there is nothing wrong with Will Howard. He is not playing with great confidence right now. My personal belief is there are 2 reasons. The first is, do you remember the Super Bowl against Tampa? What Patrick Mahomes looked like when they played that 2-deep zone and the Chiefs had no answer underneath, they took away everything downfield for Mahomes and said, go ahead and dink and dunk and beat us, and Mahomes wasn't really that guy yet. Do you remember that? That's what Will Howard's going through. There were so many big plays last year. that Kansas State made with Will Howard at quarterback. They come out against these opponents, and Texas Tech did this Saturday night, playing the safeties back. You're not going downfield. Will Howard's got a good arm, accurate downfield, 6'5", biggest quarterback in the Big 12, can see the field. He's got everything you could possibly want. They've taken it away, and he doesn't know how to deal with that. And they don't have Deuce Vaughn to dump the ball to and have him run for 240 yards. So they don't really have that running back, right? So Will Howard doesn't look right. They've taken away what he does best. He's a college player and has not adjusted. What does Chris Klieman do? I got this kid on the sideline that can really run it. Like the best running back, the best receiver, and probably, at the end of it all, the best quarterback on the roster is my true freshman, Avery Johnson. He's a playmaker. Nobody can catch him. He's the fastest guy on the field, and he is pretty skinny because he's a freshman, but I say about runners, Marcus Allen, I used to say this about Marcus Allen. When you watched Marcus Allen, he'd get skinny. You know, there'd be a little sliver of daylight, and somehow he'd get skinny and get through it. Some running backs go running in there, and they get chipped on the shoulder. They bust into a guy, and they bounce around like bowling balls, right? Some runners run skinny. Marcus Allen would get thin. He'd get skinny and get through there untouched. That's what Avery Johnson does. It's really something to watch. So he gives him a series. Down he goes. They can't stop him. Touchdown. Bring Will Howard back in. They're alternating in the first half. Second half, he says they're going to come out, and they're going to play these safeties back. Tech did not adjust. They kept the safeties back. They're like, great, we'll take 15-yard gains and your safeties can make a tackle on my quarterback. Fine. Avery Johnson goes nuts. The true freshman scores 5 touchdowns. It was remarkable to watch him. He was 8 out of 9 passing for 77 yards, 13 carries for 90 yards and 5 touchdowns. Remember, he only played about little over half the game here. They were alternating, and it was spectacular to watch. That being said, Kansas State defense did some nice things in this game. They gave up some yards. One of the touchdowns was pretty fluky. They give up 21, but they pulled away. And they were going to keep scoring. Maybe the most impressive thing Avery Johnson did was the last drive of the game, up 38-21. K-State has 3rd and 6 from their own 47-yard line. Avery Johnson goes 14 yards, and he can take this thing to the house, and he slides. He could have had another 40 yards and another touchdown. And he slides, and then they get up and take a knee twice, and the game is over. I don't think I've ever seen that. It isn't like they were up 3. They were up 17. And this freshman just went to the turf. He was gone on that. He's gone. It was another touchdown. He's gone. And he just slides 40 yards from the end zone. Not like at the 1. He didn't run at the 1 and slide. He just got the first down and went down. Who does that? Well, the New York Giants don't know that because we watched them botch the clock. I watched botch clock all over the NFL last night, and there's a freshman at Kansas State doing that. Now, I wouldn't have done it, not up 17, but he's remarkable. This is going to upset a lot of K-State fans, but I don't know what they're going to announce or do this week. I'm starting Will Howard Saturday. It's Will Howard's football team. He's a senior. They look up to him. Let's go play that. Let's let Will Howard understand Avery's going to get some series here. I still think the most lethal combination for Kansas State, if they really want to, is to have them both on the field. Have Howard at quarterback, use Avery Johnson in the slot, run him like the Chiefs used to with Tyreek Hill along the line of scrimmage, do the little flip pass, do some end arounds, run him out for some passes, throw a backwards pass to him, let him throw it downfield. There's a million things you could do with him out there. I think we need to see them both on the field. Will Howard is a fine football player that defenses have adjusted to, and he hasn't adjusted back. And if TCU wants to play that, if they want to play too deep and say we're not going to let Will Howard pass on us, you're going to see Avery Johnson in the game Saturday. But my opinion is you just don't change quarterbacks that fast. I haven't seen enough mastery of the offense and the passing game and everything from a true freshman to say, it's your football team, go. Remember, we're not talking about some quarterback here for Kansas State. We're talking about a guy that played at such a ridiculous level last year, he won the freaking Big 12. Okay? That's a hard player to bench and say your career's over here. That's a hard thing to do. Like, he's battle-tested We talk about Missouri. Can you prove it? Can you do this? Will Howard has proven it. I'm starting Will Howard, and I've got Avery ready to go. And I'm going to manage the game just like Chris Klieman did this past week. What the defense is going to give us is what they're going to give us. And let everyone the rest of the season now, this is where it changes for Kansas State. Everyone the rest of the season has to prepare for two quarterbacks, two different offenses. That's the best part. And I do think Colin Klein, the offensive coordinator, is more comfortable calling Avery Johnson's offense than Will Howard's offense. Will Howard runs more of a pro-style offense. Avery Johnson runs the Colin Klein offense. It's quarterback run. It's RPO. It's throw off of that. It's clearly more difficult to defend. Gives you way more options. And your best playmaker's on the field. And he's got the ball in his hand on every play. Like, we haven't even seen a play yet where a pass play breaks down for Avery Johnson and he scrambles. I can't even imagine what that's going to look like. We haven't even seen that yet. He's the fastest player on the team. So I know it's going to drive you crazy. I'm starting Will Howard this week. I'm not pulling the trigger yet. We'll see what Chris Klieman does. It's his football team. But also, we should give like a 5-star rating to Chris Klieman coaching that game. That was brilliant coaching Saturday. And a hard thing to do. You got a kid you love, man, that's been there for years, that has worked his butt off and is the team leader, the captain of the team, who won the Big 12 for you the year before and got you a $44 million contract. And you got him standing on the sideline next to you. That is a hard thing to do for a coach, let me tell you. Will Howard made $44 million for Chris Klieman. Think about that for a second. That is a hard decision to make. And he's a smart coach. He says, hey, these safeties are back. We're going to go run the football. Put Avery in. And they did. And it worked. And Kansas State wound up winning easily. The Kansas Jayhawks had their LSU moment on Saturday. Man, I'm telling you, KU was just cruising along in this game. I mean, absolutely cruising along. They come out. They're up, what, 25, 24 at the half or whatever it was. They score on the first possession of the second half, 11 minutes and 13 seconds to go in the third quarter. KU scores and goes to 32 points, and they never score again. I mean, they were unstoppable in this game. They're just going up and down the field. Jason Bean threw for 410 yards, 5 touchdowns. They're running the ball. I mean, everything is clicking for Kansas. And you're like, they're going to run away with this thing. They're going to score 60 today. 50-something. Honestly, they're at 32 with 11:14 to go in the third quarter. You're thinking to yourself, they could score 21 more points. That'd be 53. But they're darn sure going to score 14 more, which is 46. And they never scored again. And it was painful because you'd seen already what they're capable of. The last 5 drives, KU gets nothing. There was turnovers in there. There were mistakes. Bean threw a couple of picks. But there was a 4th and 5 at the 40. They got a chance to put the game away. 9 minutes to go, I think, at this point. KU's up 32-30. I mean, they're still leading, despite the fact that there's been no scoring for a quarter. They've got the ball 4th and 5 at the OSU 40, and they're going for it, which I don't have a problem with. But they fumble the ball, and they turn it over on downs. Oklahoma State goes down and scores, and the game's changed. At this point, KU's playing catch-up, and it was really they were playing so well and scoring at such ease, this should never have been a game where KU was playing catch-up. They were the better team most of the night, and they just epically fell apart. The defense is going to be bad at times this year. We know that about Kansas. All right, this Ollie Gordon for Oklahoma State had 284 total yards running and catching. I mean, they had 555 total yards offense, Oklahoma State did. We're not going to pin this on KU's defense and say, look, we expect them to shut Oklahoma State down the second half. No, Kansas is still the team that's going to have to outscore people. But how do you explain, I mean, the X's and O's of KU's offense, it's the best I've seen this year anywhere. They just get guys, the receivers get wide open. The run blocking is gaping holes. It's just a brilliantly designed offense. And then 5 straight series, they do nothing. It's mostly self-inflicted. You can't sit there and go, well, Oklahoma State's got a great defense. No. KU scored 32 points in just over a half and then didn't score again. To be honest, I was disappointed. I don't know what the deal is with Jalen Daniels. Lance Leipold said after the game that his preseason Big 12 player of the year quarterback or Big 12 quarterback of the year and offensive player of the year is not out for the season. He says it's not unlike last year. He's not out for the season. Jason Bean isn't Jalen Daniels. He doesn't quite have that running part. He can run for first downs, but he's not as explosive. You know, as we're watching all these easy scores by Kansas, it makes you wonder what this offense would look like if Jalen Daniels were playing. Nobody really knows what's going on. There's no information on this. There's all kinds of wild rumors and speculation about whether he's transferring, whether this is his decision now and he's shutting it down, whether it's about getting money, you know, like a holdout, like a Chris Jones holdout, like I need more money to stay here. I think at this point he could still redshirt. There's a lot of things in play here with Jalen Daniels, who's probably not a pro quarterback, but could make a lot of money playing college football. I don't know what's going on with him. And there's just scant few details from Lance Leipold. But it hasn't mattered. Jason Bean is good. You throw for 410 yards and 5 touchdowns, you ought to win. Kansas had an extra point block. They botched a snap on one. They got to clean some of those things up. But I was disappointed, to say the least. I would have bet, if somebody said, what kind of odds would you place on Kansas gets the ball 5 more times today and doesn't score? I'd have said, I'll give you 1,000-to-1 odds on that. Because it was unthinkable at that point. But that is exactly what happened in that game. Don't look now in the Big 12, but Iowa State is 3-1 in the Big 12. Remember a few weeks ago, a fan was cussing out Matt Campbell, their coach, walking off the field. It was kind of an ugly scene, and Campbell had to be held back. Oh, their defense is legit now. Iowa State's playing some ball. They are 3-1 in the Big 12. 6 teams in the Big 12. Oklahoma has 0 losses. 5 others have 1 loss in the Big 12. So the race is on in the Big 12. All right, before we get to the NFL, we want to remind you about the promotion that Cross Kitchens KC is doing right now. If you've even thought about new floors, countertops, cabinets, any kind of remodeling in your house, Cross Kitchens right now is offering free granite upgrade, free granite countertops for you right now if you call Cross Kitchens. And again, I don't know how long they're going to offer this. Well, I kind of do. They're going to offer it until their work schedule is full. They want to fill up the books the next 3 months or so with their work schedule for all their workers. And when they do, this will be gone. Last time they did this, they offered this promotion for about 4 weeks. This is week 2 that they've offered this. Folks, if you even think about this, you're going to save thousands on your job by getting these free granite countertops. Just call 816-898-7047. Now, you can't just get the free countertops, obviously. It's a qualifying job of some sort. It would require flooring or cabinets or, you know, remodel, whatever it is that you're doing. But Tim and Brittany will walk you through that. They're a wonderful young couple. They just do great work. They'd love to come meet with you in your home and talk about what they can do for you. And right now you can save thousands of dollars on your remodel job by calling Cross Kitchens KC at 816-898-7047. That's 816-898-7047. You don't have to get this done in the next 2 months. You have to set the appointment, put like a deposit down and say, here's what we're doing. Then you can work your way through it and take your time and you still qualify for the free countertops. So make the call to crosskitchenskc.com. Earth Effects Outdoor for everything outside your house. Great time of year to do some landscaping, put in trees. October is the best time of year to plant trees. October, November, perfect time to put trees in. Or if you'd like to build a fire pit out back or an outdoor kitchen of some sort, hardscapes. Earth Effects Outdoor is Kansas City's leader in hardscapes. Over 25 years, Earth Effects has been doing this all over the metro area. Give Daniel and his team a call at 816-478-7700 or log on to eeoutdoor.com. And Amini's Galleria. This is Amini's for all your outdoor furniture this fall. Or, I'm telling you, man, the health benefits of a sauna in your home are real. If you've got joint pain and some things like that, this can be just fantastic for you. Arash Amini uses a sauna every day. He got one of these things a few years ago to make himself feel better and healthier. And then he said, well, why wouldn't I be offering these to my customers at Amini's? So he put them in his St. Louis store. Now they're in the Kansas City store. You can build them into your house or they can be freestanding. Go check them out on the showroom floor at Amini's. They're really cool. And they're not that you can afford one of these. Okay, and they have financing available. This could improve your health. A sauna in your home, Aminis.com, or 105th and Metcalf. Just walk right in and say, where are these saunas he's talking about? I'm not talking about hot tubs. I'm talking about the sauna, the steamer, baby. 105th and Metcalf in Overland Park. You, too, can have the health benefits of a steamy sauna in your home from Aminis at 105th and Metcalf. Hey, it's kind of fun every now and then to have a Sunday where the Chiefs don't play and we watch other teams fight it, because the NFL is a battle. Some people complaining that scoring is down, that the games are grittier, that coaches are too conservative, that we've got all this and that. We don't notice that here in Kansas City because the Chiefs don't play that way. And a lot of the high-profile games, like the Cowboys and Chargers, will play Monday night. I suspect there will be a lot of action in that game. Chiefs games have a lot of action. Dolphins games had a lot. Typically, 49ers and Eagles games have a lot of action. But what happened on Sunday to the two remaining undefeated teams in the NFL? They went on the road, and they basically ran into Marty Schottenheimer. You remember those Chiefs teams and how they would beat better football teams during the regular season? Teams that you know aren't going to win in the playoffs, maybe not even make the playoffs. You know this. The Jets are not going to beat the Eagles in the Super Bowl. Okay? It's not going to happen. The Browns are not going to play the 49ers in the Super Bowl. The Jets and Browns probably won't make the playoffs, but they might. They're both in good spots, and they both have tremendous defenses at home. The Jets is better than the Browns, but my God, those Browns fans are so hungry for wins. And they just went out and said, that stuff you do, you ain't doing that here today. You're just not, it's not going to happen. And the Eagles lose and the Niners lose. And it was fun. And I think there's room for this in the NFL. There's enough high flying games. There's enough. Look, if you don't have that stud quarterback, your chance to beat somebody really good is to go play defense. And the reason this is so important is you've been watching the Chiefs this year. The Chiefs have the stud quarterback. And we've seen defenses keep the Chiefs down a little bit this year. The defenses are getting better. They're adjusting to what a lot of these offenses have done. The defenses around the league are getting better. They just are. Everything is cyclical. Do you know how you know the defenses are getting better in this league? Because the Chiefs' defense is so much better. Hell, if the Chiefs' defense is number two in the NFL right now, how much better is defense everywhere if the Chiefs are able to do this? I'm not sure they're number two after the weekend. We'll have to see, because there were some tremendous defensive performances in the league this weekend. But they were number two heading into Sunday's play. And that's a good thing, because now the Chiefs can beat the 49ers or the Eagles in the Super Bowl by holding them to 17 points. How does that sound? Because we watched it with our own eyes, because the Jets and the Browns pulled that off on Sunday. I love that about the NFL. The Chiefs have two ways to beat you. And if the Chiefs are going to be in one of these games, imagine you're the Jets or the Browns, and you're in these low-scoring defensive games, and you're trying to, you know, pull the rabbit out of the hat and win the game, and the Browns got a little lucky because the Niners missed a field goal at the buzzer. So there was some luck involved in that. But imagine you're trotting out the quarterbacks the Jets and the Browns are, backups, both of them. Now imagine you're the Chiefs with a good defense, and you're in a slugfest, and it's 17-all with a minute 30 to go, and you got Patrick freaking Mahomes. That seems pretty lethal to me, and I expect it. And I'm tired of the whining of Chiefs fans. Seriously, you bunch of complaining whiners. This offense, these receivers, this and that. This team has the best record in the NFL, tied with a couple of others at 5-1. Complain all you want about the way they're playing. They have everything it takes. They do not have the wide receiver that some other teams have, but they've got Travis Kelce, which other teams don't have. They have Mahomes, which nobody has, and now they've got a defense that looks like it stacks up with anyone. This is ridiculous what the Chiefs have right now. It's embarrassment of riches. For Patrick Mahomes to be on a team that has a top 10 defense is a joke for the rest of the league. That is a really bad spot for them. I love it. I love what I saw in the NFL this weekend, and I think it bodes well for the Chiefs, and they have many formulas to beat you. Many. Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift were on Saturday Night Live Saturday night. I don't really care all that much about that. I care more about the Chargers on Sunday. Stan Weber will join us later in the week to preview the Chiefs and Chargers. That'll be fun. My Taylor Swift news isn't about her being on Saturday Night Live or spending a couple nights at Travis Kelce's house in Kansas City. My Taylor Swift news is, I mentioned USA Today wrote a piece. Breitbart wrote a piece. You may recall many months ago, I was talking about how Taylor Swift could swing the next election, and people laughed at me, and I got emails. Now the Dole Center for Politics at the University of Kansas, Professor Brian Sullivan, has done an interview, and a story is out that the political experts at the Dole Center for Politics at the University of Kansas and a professor at Wichita State. They both believe Taylor Swift, if she chooses, can swing the election. Just by the sheer number of people that will vote for the first time. Because she'll say, go sign up, go vote, and go vote for the Democrat. This is all about abortion. This is all about abortion. It's not all about abortion. Taylor Swift's got other things she's passionate about. But it's mostly about abortion. It's mostly about, to young girls, these mean men, mean white men, want to take your health care rights away from you. That's what they want to do. Men are evil. Women are great. You got to vote for a man that at least let you abort babies. That's what this is all about. Now, she's got other issues, although I can't imagine why she wants higher taxes, which she's got. Although she has a resident, she's got that place out in the Hamptons. She's got another one in Manhattan. And then her main residence? Oh, yeah, that'd be Tennessee where there's no income tax. Yeah, right. So she's got to sleep there 180 days a year or something? I ain't buying it. She's always on the road. She doesn't sleep anywhere 180 days a year. Somehow she avoids taxes by staying in Tennessee after she left country music. See, this is a typical liberal. Hypocrite all the way. I want to be this New York fashionista. I'm the biggest star in the world, but I want to pay Tennessee taxes. Of course you do. Then you want to indoctrinate 11-year-old girls and teach them the second they're 18 to sign up and vote for Democrats so they can abort babies. This is wacky. Wackadoodle. The Dole Center is on board. People think I'm nuts talking about the Taylor Swift stuff. It's real. And there are millions of them. She did $100 million in the box office this weekend. It's nothing but a video of her concert that they all went to. We want to go see it again at AMC Theaters. $100 million. 4 days. We got an uphill battle against Taylor Swift. Do not fall in love with the Travis and Taylor thing. If you care about America. And the crazy part is Travis's friends are all conservative. His favorite guys on the team are all MAGA guys. You know what? He probably hasn't talked politics yet with Taylor and probably hasn't even looked. But boy, I bet she loves the fact that he did the Pfizer shot. Woo. So disappointing. All right, our news today is brought to you by our friends in Manhattan at the Bluemont Hotel and Colbert Hills. There is still time between now and Thanksgiving and some beautiful weather. It's supposed to be 70s all week now. Book this and go. Go play Colbert Hills. It's gorgeous in the fall. The trees are beautiful. And stay at the Bluemont Hotel. You get a one-night hotel and one round of golf for $110. That's crazy. Call Zoe at the Bluemont Hotel. She's in sales and events. Or just call Bluemont and ask for Zoe. 785-473-7091. That's 785-473-7091. She can set it up for you and a buddy to go play. Or you could take 16 people and do this with your work. With your company. Get them out of the office for a day. Go bond. Have some fellowship for a day with all the folks at your office. Spend the night. Have a little dinner, maybe a couple of beers. You know, whatever. Play some golf. 785-473-7091. They're basically saying, come do this for nothing. Come stay in a beautiful hotel. The perfect place in Manhattan. And the best golf course anywhere for $100. Crazy. BlueMontHotel.com. North Kansas City Dental is my dentist. I saw Dr. Bush last week. He's an award-winning dentist, and he can be your dentist, too. Why don't you call and schedule that appointment? You should go every 6 months. 816-471-2911. Call him up and say, I'm making the switch. I'm leaving my dentist because I want to talk to Dr. Bush about the Chiefs and maybe a little bit about Trump. Who doesn't want that in a dentist? I mean, if you they're working in your mouth, you don't really get to talk. You might as well listen. Just say, give me the full show. Like, he'll give you a full podcast in the chair if you ask for it. 816-471-2911. It's nkcdental.com. And John and Heather over at Amazing Garage Floors are sealing driveways right now at a very low cost, which will add years to the life of your concrete, whether it's driveways, sidewalks, patios. Get them sealed right now. Fall's the best time of year to seal your concrete. 913-901-7139. That's 913-901-7139. Online at amazinggaragefloors.net. While they're there sealing, just get a bid on your garage floor. Decide whether you want to do that or not, because it will change your life, guys. That garage floor changes your entire house. Amazinggaragefloors.net. And a reminder, before we start the news here today, all of our sponsors are at thekklist.com. This week on the podcast is going to be a little different because we're headed to Arizona. And so a couple of podcasts are going to be pre-recorded. We'll drop them each day, but they're just going to be interview podcasts. And I probably won't, you know, be taking care of the sponsors quite as well as I do on every other podcast, but it's better than not having a podcast, right? Friday, Spencer Keatsman will be our guest. He's getting married Friday night. That's one right there. Stan Weber is going to join us for a podcast, and Joe Carlin's going to join us. He's running for mayor of Lenexa, where I live. Another one of these folks that's in a battle. Lenexa, they're trying to turn Lenexa into what Prairie Village and Leawood and Overland Park have become. They want to bring like this low-income housing, bring people from Kansas City, Missouri in, build more apartments, and just flip the voters to Democrats. This Lenexa is boomtown. It has thrived under Mike Boehm, the mayor, for the last 28 years. My councilman and my ward and my mayor have been great conservatives for 28 years. Conservatives built Lenexa like conservatives built America, and now they're trying to take it away. And Joe Carlin stands in the way, so he's going to get on this podcast. We'll hear what he has to say, and I'm going to be interested to talk to him about municipalities and what happens with them when they get overrun with apartments and lower-income housing. Can't wait to hear his thoughts on that. So we'll have some different podcasts this week. I just want to remind you that any of our sponsors are always in one place, thekklist.com. Thekklist.com. Go there and check them out at any point. If you don't remember, you know, the phone number to call Amazing Garage Floors or whatever, it's all right there. If you don't remember their website, go to the one website that has them all, thekklist.com. There's still no Speaker of the House. Kevin McCarthy, the former Speaker of the House, says there's going to be a vote on the floor Tuesday. I'll believe it when I see it. And he believes Jim Jordan will be the next Speaker. Well, you know what? If they pull this off and Jim Jordan is the Speaker, that's quite an upgrade. That's a big, big deal if they pull this off. Now, we still got some rhinos in that conference that are being real pricks about this, saying, no, we're not going to let Matt Gaetz and his little group decide who our guy is. And so they shot down Scalise. Actually, I take that back. That is a very unfortunate term because Steve Scalise once was shot practicing baseball by a crazy Bernie Sanders volunteer. I apologize, Steve Scalise. I did not mean it that way. That was insensitive. They struck down Scalise as Speaker. The Gaetz was behind him, but the rest weren't. Marjorie Taylor Greene and some of those were never going to support him. I think they're all in support of Jordan. You just got to get enough of the rhinos to say, we'll take Jim Jordan. This is dumb. It's time to get this done and move on. Let's do it on Tuesday. I really want to get this thing done. There's really not much of a change in the war in Israel over the last few days. It's escalating, but there has not been this major invasion yet. The crazoids on the left in this country are now saying there could be 1 million people evacuated, becoming refugees. Most of them would consider themselves Palestinians, although I don't know when there was a Palestine. And they want America to take them all. These leftists, I'm sitting here thinking, these same leftists, if this was World War II, they'd be supporting Hitler. Do I have this right? They'd be supporting Hitler. Because make no mistake about it, this is just anti-Jew. That's all it is. It's not pro-America. It has nothing to do with America. They're picking sides saying we don't like the Jews. So I've sat here my whole life listening to the left, which votes for Jewish politicians. The Jews vote for Jewish politicians. Jewish people vote for liberals. My entire life, all I've heard of is, oh, Republicans, you're racists. You're anti-Semites. And you're racist and you're homophobic. That's all we hear from them. Nonstop. And now the rubber meets the road. Here we are. I don't know one Republican anywhere that doesn't stand with Israel. I don't have a single friend that doesn't stand with Israel. And I've given you my reasons. They don't need to be religious. I don't need to pick a religion. I've got a religion. I'm a Christian. It doesn't apply here. Okay? I don't need to do that. Mine's real simple. How many Americans have been taken hostage by the Israelis? Zero. How many by the Palestinians? Well, we don't know. They've got at least 200 hostages. We've got, what, 15, 17 missing Americans still? We don't exactly know. How many Americans were killed by the Israelis? That would be exactly zero. How many Americans have been killed by the Hamas? That number's growing. It's into the 20s, right? This is easy. You look at the two and you go, okay, which side are these two on? Israel stands with America. I'm on their side. They're not going to bomb our buildings. They're not sneaking into the country to kill us. The Jews aren't invading our southern border so they can blow up buildings. They're not doing that. No, it's Palestinians and Hamas and Hezbollah. Out. I'm out on all of them. I'm sorry. This is easy. And these crazy leftists now want us to take Palestinians in here. Like the second we did the Afghan pullout, we just started bringing Afghans in here like crazy because they're all thinking the same thing. We'll get these people in here and they'll all vote for Democrats. Well, how? So you want, and make no mistake about this, the peaceful Palestinians. Like I'm more than willing to admit there's a million of them sitting there that don't want to kill anybody. They don't want to kill anybody, but guess what? They still don't like the Jews. They're racist. They're anti-Semitic. We're going to take in Palestinians into our country, put them in the Democrat wing. That's where it resides. And you're just a bunch of Jew haters. I mean, they may be peaceful people, but they sit around all day and hate Jews. They've been taught that from day one. You can't deprogram people. If you are 25 years old and you grew up in Palestine, I don't care if you're 50 years old and you've lived there in that Gaza area your whole life. They've taught you from the day you were in diapers to hate the Jews. You can't reprogram these people. No, the answer is zero Palestinians coming in. Zero. If you're anti-Semitic, you're not coming. We don't need that here. And it damn sure isn't the Republican Party or conservatives that bring that filth. These people on the left are awful for America. Just awful. And they're screaming, wanting, oh, we got to be humanitarian and take refugees and bring them in. Really? Let's bring in a bunch of Jew-hating refugees. Great idea for our country. Let's splinter this thing up even more. We need to re-embrace our cultural norms and traditions as Americans. One nation, under God, indivisible. We need to embrace that. Diversity is okay, but you cannot let it rip your country apart. A country must have an identity. It must have a history. It must have a societal norm. You can love all people, but we must keep our traditions and our unique American culture. And for darn sure not be ashamed of it like the left is. People are crazy, man. Kari Lake is running for Senate in Arizona. It's going to be fun to be out there for a few days this week and see how this is going. Kari Lake didn't win governor. She thinks she did, and they've recounted and whatever. She didn't win. She's running against a guy named Ruben Gallego for Senate now, and she's got a 10-point lead. Kari Lake's got a big lead now. So this is a pretty good peek that 3 years of Joe Biden in Arizona is going back to the red, that they don't like what they see with Joe Biden. So Kari Lake's got this lead, and she had, like, I believe in fighting hard and tough and being dirty if you have to. Ruben Gallego comes out and says, and he may be right, Kari Lake is dangerous on abortion. She wants a complete abortion ban in Arizona. I think that's dangerous policy for Republicans. I think that's a good way to lose elections. I think you get no women to vote for you. Very few. Very small number. I think you're just kissing a lot of that vote goodbye. I would love to see, personally, in order to reduce abortions in this country, a federal law passed. 12 weeks, 15 weeks, whatever it may be. That's what I'm for. And get this issue off the ballot once and for all. It's bad for Republicans in most places. And it may be bad for her if Gallego keeps it up. Gallego attacks her on abortion. It says she's dangerous for Arizona. She had the greatest Trump-like comeback in the history of Arizona politics. Kari Lake, immediately upon being accused of being dangerous on abortion, puts on X about Ruben Gallego, quote, Ruben, you left your wife when she was 9 months pregnant. Maybe you should sit this one out, unquote. This crazy leftist. Can you imagine? He left his wife when she was 9 months pregnant. So what did he do? For 9 months, he tried to talk her into an abortion. This is what he wanted, and she wanted to have the baby, and he left her? Oh, my God. What is wrong with these people? You left her 9 months pregnant, and you're railing on Kari Lake's stance about pregnancy and abortion and having children. Wow. Polling matters. She's up, but that cannot be a winning issue for her in Arizona. It's not a winning issue hardly anywhere anymore. And, you know, I don't think we're ever going to get to zero abortions in this country. I don't. If we allow it state by state, which is fine, we're going to lose a lot of elections that way. And there's going to be plenty of states where there are no abortions, but there's going to be plenty that are just factories. Like, it's tourism abortions. I don't know why we can't say, as conservatives, that part of the moral high ground here is to say, if there were zero abortions in this country, that it would still be happening in back rooms and other places. Why can't we say that there's something more humane? If we got a 12-week abortion ban, abortions would come way down. Way down. And that's God's work too. So I know many of you disagree with me on this, but I'm as worried about the political issue and the future of our country as anything else. Because if we just keep losing elections over abortion, we lose our country. And that means a lot to me. That means a lot. Our final is brought to you by Buck Disposal, online at buckdisposal.com. You need something hauled off? They got all kinds of big containers for your job site. Oh, Chris sent me from B-Stock. They got a big buck dumpster behind B-Stock now. Some of the TVs they get are a little damaged, and they just toss them out. So now Buck Disposal's hauling them off for them. That's pretty cool stuff. 20-yard, 30-yard, 40-yard dumpsters. Man, I'm telling you, you put 5 tons in that big one. 5 tons of stuff inside that 40-yard dumpster. Just log on to buckdisposal.com or call 913-242-7695. If this is an order of your business, you're going to love their customer service at Buck Disposal better than the corporation you're working with right now. Ticketsforless.com. Don't forget, after every Chiefs win, you save the amount of the points they scored. If the Chiefs score 31 against the Chargers on Sunday, for 24 hours after the game, it's $31 off Chiefs tickets at ticketsforless.com. You want to go to the game Sunday? The forecast is excellent. This should be a fantastic football game. It's the 3:25 start, which is part daylight, part under the lights. That is so much fun. Great tailgating before the game. 913-685-3322. Your promo code is KKHI. That's it. KKHI saves you money every single time at ticketsforless.com. And it's the same thing at MyPillow. KKHI is your promo code at MyPillow.com. Mike Lindell is having a massive sale right now. His credit was cut off by American Express. Apparently, they're crazy liberals and don't like Mike Lindell. He's trying to refinance and get the credit line going. He's hoping for an influx of cash, so he's lowered prices on everything across the board. Your promo code is KKHI. You will never save more than you save right now on anything at MyPillow.com. Buy a pair of slippers to give to somebody for Christmas right now. Just log on to MyPillow.com and support Mike Lindell and his company. Use that promo code KKHI. These are great American-made products that are not expensive. And do something, order an early Christmas present at MyPillow.com/KKHI. Our final is an auction in Dallas, Texas. Now, we've heard a lot about auction items through the years and the money they bring. We don't often think of Dallas, Texas as being the place of an auction, but a gentleman named Greg Jein, J-E-I-N, I think it's Jein, it could be Jein. Greg Jein died. It's unfortunate, but it's going to happen to all of us. Greg Jein died and had a massive collection of Star Wars memorabilia. And his family asked his closest friends who were Star Wars freaks to come help clean the place out after he died. Going to clean the house out. We're going to sell it. They're finding all kinds of stuff. And a lot of this stuff's worth $5, $10. Some of it maybe is worth $100. There might be a couple pieces worth $1,000, $1,500. I mean, he collected some good stuff that's valuable. And they're poring through the garage. And I am not a Star Wars person. I've seen the movies, but I've seen them once. That's it. I remember the original movie. In order to film the fight sequences, they used models. It wasn't CGI back then. They used models. They used a 20-inch X-Wing Starfighter model in the original Death Star space battle of 1977 Star Wars. This X-Wing Starfighter model was the one that was Red Leader, or quote, Red One, in the movie. When they're calling signs of all the starfighters. So the X-Wing Red One, the actual model they used to film the movie, was in this guy's garage. It went up for auction this weekend and sold for $3.135 million. A 20-inch handmade plastic toy $3.135 million at auction. It was a global auction. People came from all over the world to buy this guy's Star Wars stuff. That is insane. And that is our final today at Kevin Keatsman Has Issues.
Thanks for listening to Kevin Keatsman Has Issues, presented by Roberts Robinson Chevrolet Buick GMC. To get exclusive patrons-only podcasts, receive a weekly newsletter, and attend in-person patrons-only parties, visit kkhasissues.com and become a patron today. This has been a production of Crooked Tail Media Incorporated.